I want to speak to you on the world's greatest text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This tells us, number one, of the world's greatest love. It tells us, number two, of the world's greatest need. It tells us, number three, of the world's greatest gift. And it tells us, number four, of the world's greatest choice. Now, in the dictionary, the word nostalgia means to evoke memories of the past. It's a strange thing. Some people, though physically you can't live in the past, tend to either emotionally or psychologically often to live there. In fact, many psychologists tell us that many people in the world are crucified actually between two thieves, the thief of the past, which brings guilt, and the thief of the future, which brings dread. Now, I can't help but tell you that the picture you're about to see on the screen evoked great emotions for me about the past. This is a photograph of a building which was about to be destroyed. In fact, now it's completely destroyed and houses have been built in its stead. But when I saw this photograph, it evoked so many emotions and memories in my mind. You see, I lived in a road called Wellington Road. Strangely, it had some architecture within that road which was impressive. At the very bottom, a huge tower. Halfway up, a Florence Institute, a magnificent building. Further up, a school which had a playground on the roof. And right at the top, this building which was called the Bethel. This evoked memories as I saw it about to be destroyed. Why? Because I'm told that I was dedicated there. I know that some of my sisters were married there. I know that my mother's funeral took place there. In fact, this building evoked all sorts of memories to me. For example, I remembered a fiery Welsh preacher preaching in such a way that it terrified me. I can also remember a Scottish preacher coming with a white dog collar who could play marbles. Do you ever play marbles? Did you? Well, he played marbles in a very different way. He stood erect, and though a marble, tiny little marble, was 3 feet away, standing erect, he could hit that marble every single time. I remember a Liverpool preacher whose preaching was dominated by magic. He would do magic tricks every single time he came there. I remember a person coming from Australia called Peter Scothen who claimed to make the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk. And I remember going along to this building where these great claims were being made. It was a building that had a balcony, and it always seemed to be packed. It was a building that had a basement, and it was in that basement that something happened in my life. I wanted to play for Liverpool. I was playing for Liverpool Schoolboys. I was invited to go along, a very ordinary looking fellow, and I don't even know his name. Spoke on John chapter 3, verse 16, and said these words amongst many others, God loves you. Honestly, it was like a bullet between my eyes. So much so that though this place was packed with young people, including girls we were trying to impress, it had such an impact upon me that I put up my hand and asked if I could become a Christian. And he took me through John chapter 3, verse 16. He told me about the world's greatest love. It's the love of God. It has to be the world's greatest love because there's no one greater than God. God is infinite, without limitation, boundary, measurement, or part. So his love must be without limit, boundary, measurement, or part. He is eternal, without beginning, without end, ageless, timeless, and deathless. So his love must be without beginning, without end. In fact, he told me there is an everlasting love, which is set upon sinners like me. Unbelievable. An unchanging love, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that this living God, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, holy, righteous, just, angry with sinners every day, wise, good, was nevertheless a God who actually knew me, my name, the hairs on my head, every detail about me, and loved me. The world's greatest love. For God so loved the world. And in that word world, we're told about the world's greatest need. Because we live in a broken, fallen, hurting, wounded world. Not only so, in that verse it talks about men and women perishing. That is not just growing old and dying. It meant separation from God in life, separation from God in death, separation from God in eternity. And perishing without the knowledge of the love of God because our sins have made a separation between us and God. Even respectable, nice, good-living, church-attending sinners were separated from God. In fact, the whole context of John chapter 3, verse 16, was a very, very religious man who actually believed in God, actually knew the Old Testament off by heart, actually was respected, a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews, but who needed a brand new beginning and a brand new understanding of the love of God as it's revealed in Jesus Christ. And because I was part of that broken, fallen, hurting, wounded, sinful, separated world, it told me of my greatest need, which was a plan, a rescue plan that could bring a sinner like me and a sinner like you, a respectable sinner or a disrespectable sinner, to know the living God. Number three, it tells us of the world's greatest gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's amazing. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned have not affected the life of man upon earth as much as the one solitary life of Jesus of Nazareth. He was the condescension of divinity. He was the exaltation of humanity. There's been none like him. He claimed to be the bread of life to feed hungry souls. He claimed to be the light of the world to bring light into our darkness and ignorance. He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. The one who's the way to God, the truth about God, life from God. The one who saves, the one who satisfies us. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. He claimed to be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he is God's greatest gift. He lived the life we could never live, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And one day, upon a cross, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned, he stood. Nails in his hands and in his feet, a crown of thorns upon his brow, a spear within his side, and he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he was forsaken that sinners might never be forsaken. And he was abandoned like so that a sinner like me need never be abandoned. And his was the greatest gift because the Bible says he was delivered to the cross for our offenses. And he was raised again on the third day for our justification so that we could be just as if we'd never sinned, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, at peace with God with a righteousness that covers all of our ugliness. He is the world's greatest gift. And it tells us of the world's greatest choice, that whosoever believes on him, whosoever, that means anybody, man or woman, old or young, whatever race or culture you come from, whatever the color of your skin is, whatever your background, whatever your upbringing, whatever skeletons you have in the past or don't have in the past, no matter what religion you adopt in life, no whether you've been brainwashed as a child or not, you and I have a choice. The choice is whosoever believes in him. To believe means to put your confidence, to put your faith, to put your trust in him. And that day, this is what that man said. Would you repeat after me? And I did. For God so loved Bill Bygraves that he gave his only begotten son, that if Bill will believe in him, Bill will not perish, but have everlasting life. That night I committed my life to Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins, peace with God, the assurance of his Spirit, his leading and guiding in life, and hope based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that this life is not all there is, and one day I will be with him forever. And I invite you right now. You might be been coming to this church for years and years. You might be a pastor, an elder, a deacon, and all you've got is religion. You might be a church attender. All you've got is theology, but you don't really know Jesus. You could be a good, decent, nice, upstanding person, but you don't really know Jesus. Would you right now, in your mind, repeat and put your name, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, that if, put your name there, believes in him, I will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's stand and sing.